The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Raising his eyes towards his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. If you're wondering why these don't sound like the Beatitudes that you're used to, it's because these are not the Beatitudes that you're used to. The Beatitudes you know come from the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, and this is something entirely different. This is the Gospel of Luke. It's something known as the Sermon on the Plain. Different time, different place, different sermon, different audience. Take a closer look, but you know, before we do, can I just say one thing? You could study this for the rest of your life, so please forgive your little priest if he can't exhaustively explain it in 5 minutes or less, okay? So all I really want to do sometimes when I come across texts that are this deep is maybe give you just one thing you haven't heard before, just one thought, okay? So Matthew gives us 8 Beatitudes, and Luke only gives us 4. Why only 4? Reason is, because the lives of God's prophets were marked by 4 qualities: poverty, hunger, sadness, and rejection. These are followed up by 4 woes. Why does Jesus mention 4 woes? Because the lives of the false prophets were marked by 4 qualities: wealth, fullness, acceptance, and mirth. And it's as if Jesus says in preaching this sermon, it's as if he asks you a question. Which of these 2 better describe you? Is your life more like the lives of God's servants or more like the lives of the false prophets? It's as if to say, whose team do you play for? Now, in the Old Testament, there were 3 prophets who said, woe to you. He said, woe to the people. And those prophets were Amos, Habakkuk, and Isaiah. And they said, woe to you, as a way of final warning before an impending disaster. The prophets had preached, they had urged the people to repent, and the people did not repent. They kept saying, everything's just fine. Nothing's gonna happen. Just before a final disaster. And you know, the prophets knew this, and so they warned the people. They said, woe to you, as a way of maybe shaking some people out of their complacency before it was too late. So Jesus says, woe to you as well. Is there an impending disaster? Is there an impending disaster coming our way? Yes. It's called the Last Judgment. For those who have been like the false prophets, those who have given their hearts to the things of this world, the Last Judgment is going to be an impending disaster. Because to be a servant of Christ means to imitate him. Now, don't misunderstand when you hear this. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with being full. There's nothing wrong with laughing. It's just that it's much, much harder to imitate a crucified Savior when everything's going well. And there's conversely nothing good about being poor. There's nothing good about being hungry. There's nothing good about everybody speaking insults against you, except for one thing. It's much, much easier
to imitate a crucified Savior. And it's at a time like this where we have to stop and realize that when Jesus spoke about taking up your cross and following him, he spoke to all of his disciples. It's foolish of us to think that we're exempt. Nobody's going to go to heaven by living a comfortable, easy life. So the question is, when things are going difficult for you, are you recognizing the spiritual wealth that is surrounding you? It's like spiritual gold nuggets all across the ground. For goodness sakes, ping them up and stuff your pockets. It's one thing that really amazes me about the age in which we live. It's an age of relativism. It's an age in which basically nobody knows their faith. Nobody's catechized. You do a funeral, you know, here at St. Teresa, you'll say, "The Lord be with you." And nobody responds. Crickets are all you can hear because nobody goes to church. What amazes me about this age in which we live is that so many people, utterly uncatechized, still know the difference between right and wrong. Now, they won't accuse themselves of doing wrong, but keep your eyes open and notice. Aren't they so quick to accuse everybody else of every little transgression that they make? Yes. Why? Because the law of God is written in our hearts. It's really not difficult to know the difference between right and wrong. What's difficult is to choose what is right. And it's much, much harder to choose what is right when all is going well. A little word of consolation for you. When things are going bad, when things are going hard, and a little word of caution for easy times. It's at that time that we recognize that the closer we draw to Christ, the more we realize that he is the truth. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to realize that more deeply. St. John Chrysostom, pray for us.